Thank you, Brent. Good evening, church family. Thank you. Tonight, I'm preaching on a subject, and it's going to say, what do people want? And, you know, I sat back and I thought about it. What do people want in life? We go around and we see people that are constantly striving for success and striving for material things and striving for something more, something different, some sort of change to happen in their lives so that they can feel a satisfaction. And so, if you would just turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 12 tonight. We're going to read Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. And so, I thought of this. This is Paul, and he's writing to the Philippians, and he's, right now, he's in prison, and he's chained up to an imperial guard 24 hours a day. He's just in chains, and there's no possible way for him to get out around these guards or anything. So, he's in a very tough situation. So, once you're there, if you would, just stand up to honor the reading of God's Word. Like I said, we're going to start in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. It says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, saying, I want you to understand that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You may be seated, and as you will, just join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for tonight, and I thank you for just the opportunity to just to preach your word. God, I pray that you would just speak through me tonight, that just everything that I say and do while I'm up here, Lord, will just glorify you. God, I pray for the service, and I just, again, I'm so thankful for this opportunity, and I just ask in Jesus' name, amen. So like I said, people, they're constantly wanting something. And we think about all the different things we want. People want material things. People want to see change. People want to see a difference. And so I thought of different things that people tend to flock to. And it's those things. When we get a chance to see something that amazes us. When we get a chance to go out and see something maybe we've never seen before. Or something old made new again. We flock to it and we get excited about it. And so I thought, there was a lot of our church members that I saw that got to go to the opening day of the Green Jackets game at the new park. And I just thought about it. You know, we've been at Lake Olmsted with the Augusta Green Jackets for just years now, years and years. And it's just, it had kind of gotten old, and there wasn't a ton of people in attendance every year. There weren't a ton of people flooding the gates trying to get in to watch the baseball team. So we took something old and we made it new. They put it out in North Augusta with a new stadium, new lights, new everything. But it's the same old team, but people just flocked to it. I mean, people were ready to go in. People were ready to see it. I mean, the stadium was just packed out because they wanted to see what new things we've done with the Augusta Green Jackets. And so I thought about that. People want something new, something different. And then I thought about how we present ourselves outside of these church walls, how we go about and how we talk to other people and how we show ourselves the community. And then I read this in Philippians. We see Paul, and like I said, he's writing to the Philippians, and he says, I want you to understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. He's saying the things that have happened to me have allowed me to share the gospel, have allowed me to further my purpose in my ministry. And so Paul, he's bound by chains to an imperial guard, like I said, and it's 24 hours a day. And those guards, they switch places about every 6 to 8 hours or so. So he's around 4 different guards every single day, and he's just preaching to them. He's asking about their spiritual walk with Christ. And so instead of going, oh, woe is me, I'm in this prison, because the Philippians, they were expecting him to write them something saying, man, this, you know, this stinks, I'm in prison now. They were expecting some negative news in this letter. But they got the exact opposite. Paul is saying, listen, these people around me, they're being made new because even though I'm in chains, he's physically in chains, he's physically bound, but he's spiritually free. He has all the freedom in the world spiritually to just preach to these people. And so I thought about it and said, you know what? If all these people changed because of what Paul did, and they knew who Paul was, remember that Saul became Paul. And I taught the 3rd through 5th graders this morning. It was awesome to just kind of see their faces while they were learning, because we talked about Paul or Saul on his road to Damascus, and then, you know, the light shines and blinds him, and then Ananias goes and puts his hand on him, and he sees now. He's got his sight back, his sight's restored, but also the Lord sent Ananias and said, Paul's going to be filled up with the Holy Ghost. And so right there you see a conversion, you see a change in Paul. And so these people, they get to go and they recognize his change, and they're being changed around him, even though he's in a prison, just bound to these guards. And a lot of times I feel like we get bound in things that weigh us down. We get bound in our own sin. We get bound in just our time, things that are going on, and we start to make a lot of excuses and things like that. And so when he says that, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all of the places, I mean, he's saying, I'm able to preach to these people, I'm able to tell them about what's going on, and all the people in the palace, the Roman palace, all the people in this prison, they're hearing it, and they're changing their lives because of how I'm presenting the gospel, how I'm presenting myself. They're not seeing me sit back saying, man, this is a terrible experience, this is something that I don't need to be, you know, this. I was wrongly accused just because I was sharing the gospel. He's saying, no, I'm preaching to them, and they're changing their lives. I'm here for a reason. And then the second part of that is the Christians around him in this palace, all those Christians, they see what Paul is doing and they become more confident. They become more bold and they go to preach the gospel. So we see that all the people around Paul, I thought about it from their perspective. What were they wanting to see of him? What did they really want? They wanted to see something different, some sort of change. And so I thought about as Christians how we go out in our communities, like I said, we go out and we're with people all week long at work, during our hobbies, after work, we see our friends in school, and we can so easily become conformed to them and their ways and what they do, and we lose that confidence that we have. We come in on Sundays, we come in on Wednesdays, we praise, we worship, we shout amen, and then it just kind of, it starts to fizzle out throughout the week sometimes. And I thought, you know, how are we presenting ourselves to God? And so in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Up at the top, when he says, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, he's saying, only conduct yourselves worthy of the gospel. And I thought, man, dude, do we do that as Christians? Do we go outside and do we represent the gospel? Because Paul references us as being citizens of heaven once we're changed, once we're saved. We are citizens of heaven, and we're to represent that. We're to be proud of that. And we're to go out, and when we're sharing with people, and maybe we don't know what to share, or maybe we don't know what to say, or maybe we feel like we're going to be embarrassed, but Paul's saying, you're a citizen of heaven. This is our waiting ground. You need to present yourself in a way that is worthy to God. And I'm, you know, it's so convicting. I'm sitting there like, man, how can we possibly present ourselves worthy of God? You know, we're sinful people, and we struggle with so many things, and people see those struggles. And they want something different, like I said. People always want a change. And how do we end up showing them that change? How do we represent ourselves to them so that they want what we have? So we go out and we talk to people and we're there and we say, you know, God is great and God is good. And then there's so many often times where people get a very altered view of who Christians are. And Pastor Billy spoke on just why so much confusion nowadays. There's so many people that, you know, add things to the gospel, take things away from the gospel. They want to implement their rules or somebody else's rules. They want to make it their own or make a doctrine out of one book of the Bible. And we get so far away from what we're supposed to be preaching to these people, what we're supposed to be showing these people. So when he says, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, we should be getting excited that we're citizens of heaven and that we've changed and now we can show people this difference. But people aren't going to want what we have if they don't see it in us. What makes people want to change? Like I said, they want satisfaction. They want something more. So when we tell them we're Christians and they don't see anything different in us from them, they don't want what we have. They don't want anything of it because they say, what will it change my life? They'll say, I got to be in church now every Sunday, so that's going to take up time. I got to be there on Wednesdays. I got to help serve. I got to do that. But where's the change? What's going to change my life about it? And that's where we come in. That's what we see. And Paul, he's such an agent of showing people and saying, remember what God's done for you. And then we're going to go forward from there. Paul is an amazing teacher. And so in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He's saying, remember everything that the Lord's done for you. The first 11 chapters, remember every single thing he's done for you, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that pumped me up when it said, present yourselves as a living sacrifice. Because we read of Jesus coming in the New Testament, had to take on a human body form. He had to come down and he had to present himself as a living sacrifice so that we could be saved. And he did that just for us. He came, he willingly walked up to that cross and he died for every single one of us so that we would be changed. And then we celebrate our baptisms. And when you read about baptisms, I read it in a commentary and it said that it's an outward expression for an inward experience. You get dunked down in the water and you come out like new. You're a changed person. And Paul knew exactly what that was like. He was a total changed person. He's on the road to Damascus and he gets a light of heaven shown down on him and he's blinded. And he sees this conversion happen. He realizes who God is. And then his mission is to go out and to preach the gospel and to change people, to plant all these churches, to write these letters. He's one of the most influential people that we read of in the Bible. And people flocked to him because he had something different. I told the kids this morning that he was just a warrior for Christ. He was just constantly going after it. He didn't go back to his old ways. He didn't go back to persecuting Christians. He saw that he had really, truly changed. And that he was gone, free from his sin. Like I said, he was physically tied up, physically in chains, and physically bound, but he was spiritually as free as he could be. He was just preaching, he was teaching, he was there for the people. And he went back and sent reminders. Because in Philippians, he's sending this reminder to the people. Like I said, in Philippians chapter 1, he's saying, you got to be worthy of God. You got to live your life worthy of God. And the Philippian church, they were pretty good about fellowship. They were good with Christian fellowship. They were kind of praised for that. But he mentions in chapter 4 later on that there's still people in the church that are butting heads. They're going against it. And don't we see that all the time? It's so sad to see that we've seen churches over the years, they get all been out of shape. People leave, people go because, like we've said before, colors of carpet. You know, what's being served for Wednesday night supper? What kind of music are we singing? And people get so hung up on these sorts of things, and we should be in one like mind. Because it said, I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We're all to believe in the same thing and work as a body of Christ. And Paul, like I said, he's so amazing at it, so awesome to see. And then he constantly is reminding people, like, remember what God's done for you. It's amazing. It's amazing to see something old made new again. And I thought, there's a lot of men in our church that enjoy classic cars and just kind of talk about the things. And I thought about how people can take just a beat-up old mess, you know, a body with dents and scratches and just broken parts and, you know, no running engine and things like that. And they take time and they spend time with it and they build it back up and they make it new and it's changed with somebody that's going to put the time in and take care of it. We get changed when we get saved with a God that's going to take care of us, that's going to be there every step of the way. We go from an old, beat-up, we don't know what we're doing, we don't understand, to a changed person that will just be guided along if we will let God guide us. But when we walk outside those walls, our presentation is everything. People want something different. People want to see a change. What can that do for my life? Why do I want what you have? And if we don't show them what we have, they're never going to want it. They're never going to want to change. They're never going to be different. And where that starts is a change with us, a change in our hearts, a change realizing that our words and our actions outside that building, it impacts people in such a way that they can change their lives, like Paul's saying. He could have easily been in this prison and he could have just been saying, man, this is the worst circumstance ever. How am I going to get out of this? But instead, he's preaching to these people. And I think we get a lot of views of, you know, people just saying, like, why should I care what people think of me? You know, I'm good with my relationship with God. You know, me and him, we're on the same page. We know what's good. So why, you know, why should I care what others think about me? And, you know, I keep thinking, that just kind of sounds like, well, I'll just keep going on in my sin. I'll keep living in my sin. But we learn that when we get saved and we're filled up with the Holy Spirit, we're alive in Christ. When we're alive in Christ, we're dead in sin. Our sin was taken care of on the cross. So after we're saved, after we've made a conversion and we're changed, when we're sinning, when we are living in sin, it is our choice. It's our free will. Because God and Jesus has given us freedom from that sin, filled us up with the Holy Spirit and the power to overcome all of that. We have the power to walk out of that building, overcome our sin, and be examples to people. But a lot of times, like I said, we fall into that trap of, you know, why should I care? Why do I care what people think? Like, I got my attendance at church. I'm checking it off. I'm good. I know my relationship with God. Why does it matter what people see of me? And like I said, that kind of sounds like to me, like, why can't I just keep sinning and go about it? Because it's covered under grace, right? It's covered under grace. But we read in Romans 6, it says, should we continue in sin so that grace may be abound? Saying, should we just keep sinning so God's grace will just get bigger? Because we know He forgives. We know He forgives me. So if I sin, like, what's it matter? Like, I'm good. I'm covered. I got my ticket stamped so I can get into heaven. But right after that, it says, God forbid that when we were alive in Christ, we were dead in sin. It's gone. There's no reason we shouldn't be able to overcome our sin and have an attitude like Paul, being bound physically. We go through circumstances. We go through just tough times. Things hit us all the time that we just don't want to see. We see sickness. We see just accidents happen, things like that. And man, we get so down on ourselves, but man, like, God's there to take care of us. God is there to show us a better way. And when we've overcome sin, when it's dead, it's gone, we're a new creature. We're a new creation in Christ. Then we can go forward. Then we can say, you know what, I have been changed. And because I've been changed, I'm not going to act the way I used to. When something gets changed, it looks different. People see it as something different. And that's what I'm saying. Just like the example with the baseball field, the example with the car. We change it, people flock to it because it looks different. People flocked to Paul. People went after Paul and listened to him and his teaching because they saw that he was truly changed. He had a change of heart and he knew that he was different. He was never going back to his old ways. We spend so much time that we get saved and then we don't want to continue on and take those next steps forward. We don't want to keep going with our faith and keep realizing that there's so much more out there. People depend on us to show them what we have. I love studying, I love reading it, because in chapter 12 of Romans, verse 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But how often do we conform? How often do we go out and we're around our friends and we're around other members of our families and, you know, we're out at our hobbies and things like that, and we don't want them to get upset with us. We don't want them to judge us. We don't want them to be offended by what we believe. But we're a different people. And we're meant to be a different people. We're not meant to be like them. They're meant to be changed to be like us. Because the Holy Spirit works in our lives so that we can show them that we are different, we are changed, we have something different to offer them. So what do people want? People want to see us changed. I'm tired of people saying that Christians are hypocrites. I'm tired of people saying they've had bad experiences at churches because the people are mean and the people just, you know, judge them, don't take my seat. I mean, really though, y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, it baffles me how many people have such an altered view of who Christians are. We had a softball game a few weeks back, and there was a guy out there. He wasn't playing. He was just watching. And me and Brian Duren, wherever he's at, me and Brian Duren, we got to sit there and talk to him for a second. And I'm not going to say what church he went to, but he said he was involved in kind of some men's ministry at a church, and he was around a bunch of other guys. And I said, well, that's cool. Is that where you go now? And he said, I don't go to church anymore. And, you know, we're like, why, right? You know, why don't you go to church anymore? He said, man, it's just a bunch of hypocrites. That's basically what he said. He said, I was tired of people not being there for me, nobody there to, talk to. He said, I asked the pastor because I had some trouble in my marriage. He said he didn't have time. I'm like, man, think of the view that that gives off to other people when he goes around sharing that. People love to share bad gossip. Think of the news. People love to go out and share just like everything that is going wrong in the world, everything that's going wrong with everybody. But man, what if we gave them something a lot better to share? What if we gave them an opportunity to change their lives for the better? Just like Paul's saying, hey, I'm in a bad situation, but I gave these people an opportunity to change. And because I showed them that I truly changed my heart, because I had a heart issue and I got it resolved, these people were changed. And now there's people boldly preaching the gospel because of what I've said. The gospel can be so simple to present, and we get it so altered sometimes. People, like I said, want to add in things, add in doctrines that don't exist. The gospel is there to say that we all have a Savior, Jesus Christ, that came on the earth in human form and walked around amongst the people, had His ministry, but He went and died on the cross for us in human form, dying for all of our sins so we could be free from that sin, and He rose again 3 days later so that we could all be saved. That's how we should act, right? We should get excited about that, saying, you know what, I am saved, I'm free from my sin, I'm filled up with the Holy Spirit, and I want to show people that I'm different. But there's no way that people are going to believe us. There's no way that people are going to want to change their lives if they see us out there being just like them, showing no difference. Because people want it. People want what we have if they see that we truly have it. If they see that we truly have it. We've got to be able to show people that a change has occurred in our lives. Because a radical change has occurred. And I've heard Pastor Bill say it, I've heard Brian say it. Don't ever get over your salvation. People tend to remember it as just a day and a time that they walked down the aisle and they got saved and it was awesome. But remember that it's a miracle that we're able to be filled up with the Holy Spirit and live in eternity with God. And there's people out there that want that so bad. They want that satisfaction. They want to see a difference in their lives for the better, and they're going after it in the wrong places because we're not giving them the correct places to look. But when we present it in a way that they see that we're changed, that they see that we have something amazing, something different, then they're going to flock to it. Paul had something so different. He had an attitude that, like, I'm just going for it. I want to just see God glorified in all this. I remember what He did for me. He changed my life. And I'm going to show people that I'm changed. And that's what we have to do. So think about it tonight. How have you been representing yourself as a citizen of heaven? How have you been representing yourself as one of God's children? Have you been representing yourself in a way that people can see that you are different? Because we're not meant to be the same as anyone else. We're not meant to conform to this world. We're meant to just preach the gospel to this world. We talk about how 70%, right, of Columbia County, not affiliated with any church, or, you know, they say they don't really have any desire to be in a church. Why is that? They don't know what we have in here. They're not going to know if we don't show them. So tonight I want to challenge all of y'all to think about how you represent yourselves outside of these walls, me included. How we can go out and we can show people that we are different and get them to want what we have. Because God's powerful, and if we just present the gospel in that simple way, like I said, people will flock to it because it's different. Something that they don't know, something that they don't understand, and they want to know. They want to understand it so that they can have what we have. So tonight, as we get ready to go into the invitation, if Brent, if you could just come up and start playing. Tonight, as we get ready to go in the invitation, I just want to, like I said, challenge y'all. I want to say, if you're not First, if you're not saved and you realize you need to be saved, you realize you need that change in your life because that's what you've been longing for, that's what you want, come take care of that right now. I'll be down here to pray with you. Pastor Bill will be down here to pray with you. But also, the second part of that is all of us Christians in here that should be working with one mind and one, you know, just one way that we should be thinking. Going and presenting the simple gospel to people, what Jesus did for us. I pray that we'd come tonight, we'd pray, we'd make it right, we'd say, God, I haven't been living the way I'm supposed to. I haven't been showing people that I'm truly changed. I need to care what people think about me because I represent you. Challenge y'all to do that tonight. And like I said last time I was up here, don't be embarrassed at all for a second to come up here and pray. Because I got a feeling that there's a ton of people in here that would just be right there with you, congratulating you, excited that you want to make a change, you want to make a difference. You want to see more people change for the cause of Christ. That's what I want to see. I want to see people really change, something different. People dedicated to the same cause and forget about, like I said, the colors of the carpet, the music that we're singing, but just the gospel. Who Jesus is and what He did for us. So I'm going to pray for us and then we're going to have our invitation. I'll be down here. Pastor Bill will be down here. But just think about that as I go. How are we representing ourselves outside of these walls as a citizen of heaven? Are we giving people what they want? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, so much for just today and for tonight. God, I pray that You've just been glorified in a great way while I've been up here. Lord, I pray that this change that needs to occur, Lord, just change in people and a change of our mindset would just occur, and that You would just work in a mighty way and just show the world out there through us that we're not hypocrites, Lord, that we want to just advance the kingdom, that we're dead from our sin and we want to just go forward just seeking You, Lord. God, I pray that we just would be convicted tonight, Lord, all of us, that we need to represent ourselves in a way that just glorifies You. What we say and what we do would glorify You, God. Because You're so worthy of it. We're meant to walk in a way that's worthy to You. And when we walk in a way that's worthy to You, just people flock to it. People realize there's a difference in us and they want that difference. They want the satisfaction of knowing that You never leave us and never forsake us once we're a child of Yours. God, I pray this invitation that You would just move in a mighty way. And I just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand our feet.